What's going on, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Triggered. This is Triggered, episode number 525 here on Wednesday, July 4th. And what a month it has been.
I've aged 90 years. Yeah, I am Joe Biden right now.
I'm
Joe Biden.
But it seems like every time we come back here for another episode, some crazy fucking shit is happening.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, Joe Biden announcing that he will not be pursuing his reelection bid, dropping out of the race. It was quite a turn of events from where it looked like he was pursuing staying in. It looked like the assassination had somewhat stopped the turn against him. However, then we talked about on last week's episode how the second wave of the rebellion had begun.
It was like the Christmas truce. It was like 2 days, and then it Nancy took the gloves off.
Well, and he looked suited to weather that until he got COVID, and I'm doing air quotes here, COVID. and we're going to talk more about that in a second, but he looked to be, to weather it, and then all hell broke loose. He had health troubles, which we're going to dive into more in a second, but then on Sunday, out of nowhere, a letter gets posted to X, a scanned letter gets posted to X, with his signature, a questionable signature at that, which we'll talk about, announcing that he's dropping out.
Yeah.
As you all know, and there was no picture of him signing the statement, there was no video message, no signs of life. There was a strong question of, is he dead already?
Yeah.
It became one of the trending searches on Google, and then finally they decided to come back to the White House. But Kamala Harris is now our opponent.
Oh, God.
And she is the de facto Dem nominee, the presumptive nominee, after securing the requisite number of delegates pledged to support her. Now, there is a caveat there that they are not bound to support her like they were for Biden.
Yeah.
However, they have pledged their support, the state parties.
Yeah, and he couldn't release his delegates, so it had to be an open convention.
Well, no,
he couldn't transfer them.
No, of course, you can't just straight transfer, but he did release them.
Yeah.
That's the difference, is that that's what they needed to happen. Remember, it always went back to him dropping out and releasing them. Now you can't just straight transfer them. And there's also a question of the transfer of the money, which we're going to talk about.
Yes.
But yeah, Kamala is now the de facto Dem nominee. She is our opponent. Many are jubilant about this. I'm not as jubilant about it. However, I'm still pretty confident. But I'm not giving the positive of a vibe as I was before.
We were trending towards slam dunk territory if things held. And now there's a monkey in the ring.
Well, as John Boyne says in National Treasure, I was going back to this, keep the status quo.
Yeah.
You always wanted the status quo. Now this is it. Yeah. Now this is some mystery, right? This is some questioning introduction here into the race. However, I will say, I think she's extremely beatable. Yes. I think she's extremely unlikable. I think that her record, her radically left record in the Senate and previous jobs should be a slam dunk for us.
Yeah.
And it already has been in the 48 hours since she's been running. But what I will say is, the amount of money that has now flooded into that campaign, whether through potentially questionable ways via either the transfer or some questionable Act Blue behavior, which is being investigated by some people, of potential donation fraud, which wouldn't be surprising. It's a little bit more formidable, She's not an 80-year-old fucking decrepit already has been president, right?
Yeah.
It's an element of newness. Now, do I think we're going to beat her? Absolutely. The polls that have been coming out show Trump still in a pretty decent lead, not as commanding of a lead as he had against Biden. However, it's interesting, if you really dig into those polls, they decided to start oversampling the Democrats.
Yeah, they did.
And even in polls where they're oversampling Democrats, Trump is still winning.
Yeah.
So there's a question of the veracity of the polls. All the ones that had reasonable likely voter samples still have Trump up like 5 on her.
Yeah.
I'd like to see her try to relate with a white working class, dairy farmer in Wisconsin. She basically has all the baggage of Biden, but none of the white working class appeal.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and the Rust Belt is the only place that they have a chance to get to 270. Basically, they have to prevent us from expanding the map into places like Virginia, New Hampshire, Minnesota, all the reach states, yeah, right,
that we've started playing. And they got to keep Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Three states that Trump is leading.
And the one Nebraska.
That's right.
That's what gets it to 270.
That congressional district.
If they keep the Rust Belt, we sweep the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
And the one in Nebraska goes to Trump, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's 269. 269. Yeah. So your thing from a long time ago. I mean, you know, it is a percentage chance. Now I think that Trump's going to win with over 320 electoral votes.
Yeah, I do too.
But there's still a long way to go. It's still only July, right? Yeah. The debate was barely 4 weeks ago. It's 4 weeks ago tomorrow.
Yeah.
So just think of everything that's happened in that time. Think of everything that's going to happen. I was just saying to Mr. Producer earlier, I don't think that we've yet to see, I think we've seen one of the black swan events of this election where they tried to kill President Trump. Yeah. They failed in their assassination attempt. But, you know, you could see a number of things. You could see a financial crisis. I mean, you could see another war develop.
Another pandemic.
I think that one's a little bit tired for them. I don't even know if they think that would work. They've been talking about it a little bit, but also a potential terror attack here at home. I mean, you know, there's the FBI director, for as much as he's a piece of shit, he was out there telling the truth this morning about how much of a vulnerability our southern border is.
Yeah.
It's open. The terrorists have already come in, and it presents the largest terrorism threat to us since 9/11, is what he said.
Yeah.
So they're sounding the alarm bells for potentially something big.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, I think so. Look, you know, we're going to get to the Netanyahu speech, but look at what's happening out there today at Union Station here in D.C. A crowd, and you just wrote about this, a crowd of terrorists took the American flag down from the polls. All three American flags from the polls in front of Union Station.
Yeah.
They took it down, they burned the American flag, and they started flying the flag of Hamas, the Palestinian flag.
Yeah.
Over our capital, over our nation's capital, just a block from the Capitol building and several blocks from the White House.
Yeah.
The police standing around doing nothing. And, you know, all of them with their Palestinian flags, some with the real Hamas flag, the green one the Arab, writing over it.
Full regalias out there.
Yeah, they have the masks. It's scary. It's scary.
I think some of them have backpacks, right?
Well, yeah, of course.
Could be bombs in there. We don't know.
Sure. And so
this is how it starts. That's the point.
Well, so there was initial concern that at the U.S. Capitol, they put up the big fence, you know, the whole deal.
Yeah.
They were trying to break through the fences. They were trying to break through the lines and storm the Capitol. I was told that's an insurrection, but,
Armed rebellion.
Now the concern turns to the White House, where they also have put up the riot barriers.
Yeah.
Because tonight, President Biden will be addressing the nation at 8 o'clock from the Oval Office, and they're very concerned about large crowds of these terrorists outside of the White House. I'm a little concerned of what's going to happen after dark in D.C. The police seemed a little unprepared for what's going on here and undermanned, but it's just unbelievable this is happening in America.
I mean, they kind of to your point, they kind of stormed it yesterday. They had that
sit-in
rotunda. They released a whole bunch of cockroaches and maggots at the Watergate Hotel where Netanyahu was staying.
Mm-hmm.
It's just absolute mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's going to be a terrorist attack. I think we should just be resigned to that.
You mean in general or in the next 48 hours?
In general. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. The next 48 hours could be.
There are a lot of them here in D.C. currently.
Yes, they are.
Well, and so, let's do the Netanyahu stuff first before we go back to the whole domestic stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was an unbelievable speech by Netanyahu. I don't even want to do the disservice of clipping it. I think you should watch it in full. And if you missed it, I highly recommend you to go back and watch the whole thing.
Man.
I think it was about 50 minutes.
Yeah.
It was really heartening to see not just such a strong speech from our great friend and ally thanking America for its steadfast support, but calling out the rampant anti-Israel, anti-Semitism, pro-terrorist, pro-Hamas sentiment amongst the left in the country being funded by Iran, Hamas, and being Iran's useful idiots. It was an unbelievably strong part of the speech when he went through that. And he also, was basically talking about how their fight, in essence, is our fight against terrorists and Iran specifically. Mm-hmm. and Iran's march towards a nuclear weapon, where they're just who knows how quick away from a nuclear weapon they are at this point because of Obama.
I was told that deal kind of stopped that. I was told that was the greatest foreign policy agreement of all time.
Yeah, him
since
and
the Marshall Plan, right?
Well, it was negotiated by Obama and John Kerry, so you can take a guess of how great that went.
Oh, the guys who gave him $400 million in cash?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Francs?
Yep.
Hostage payment.
And so Netanyahu now, I believe... Yeah, there's been protests outside of his hotel at the Watergate all week. They attempted to gain entry. Some did gain entry and, like you said, dropped, maggots and all kinds of nasty shit in the Israelis' conference rooms.
Yeah.
How did they get in there? I mean, it's crazy to me this is occurring. And then
a lot of security lapses recently. Jesus.
Yeah. And then the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Guess who's investigating that?
The Secret Service.
I'm like, oh, well, they'll get to the bottom of that.
Oh, yeah, eventually, right?
You know,
were there sloped roofs?
And so Netanyahu now, I believe, will be meeting tomorrow with Joe Biden and potentially Kamala Harris. I'm not sure about that, but I know Joe Biden for sure.
Oh, she's going to come back from her sorority convention?
Oh, yeah. She boycotted the speech, by the way.
Yeah, she decided to speak.
As did a bunch of terrorist Democrats. Yeah. So we know, you know, no surprise that she's in that terrorist sympathizing force. But after Netanyahu speaks with Biden tomorrow, guess where he's going? West Palm Beach, Florida, to go to Mar-a-Lago to meet with President Trump. He knows not only are they great friends, but he knows who the next president of the United States is going to be. And so that'll be very interesting to see what happens there. But, you know, speaking of the Secret Service here, there's so much to dig into with this still. You had the Secret Service testimony on Monday, which answered nothing. And then that bitch who didn't know her ass from her mouth resigned, finally, under major pressure yesterday.
Well, she got absolutely
destroyed,
like, brutalized for 4 to 5 hours. Everybody, even AOC was ripping into her,
By both sides, that was the most interesting thing. I don't know, I can't remember the last time I saw
it's
that.
Probably the first bipartisan agreement,
truly.
And
which usually isn't a great thing, but I think in this case, it's just so blatantly clear.
Like Comer and Raskin joining together on something is like...
Oil and vinegar.
You know, Haley's Comet is going to come by next time that ever happens. Yeah. So.
Now, of course, she should have been fired immediately, but, you know, I don't think anyone was in control of the country over the weekend.
Jill's gal pal, man.
That's true.
You know, that's
true.
That's a big playing card, but now that he's dropped out, means shit now.
And so, beyond that, the news cycle has just been relentless, and most Americans are like, what the fuck is going on out here?
Yeah.
You know, there isn't 2 minutes going these days without some major breaking news. That's not even to talk about the fact that, like, the Pentagon took a severe hack and all kinds of vital documents have been leaked. You know, a cyber incident took down a ton of the U.S.'s and world's internet on, what was that, Thursday or Friday? And so things seem to be happening at a pretty accelerating pace here. We have the Taiwan situation continues to escalate. You have North Korea increasingly antagonizing South Korea. I think that the world senses that the U.S. is without a leader at this point. And they are going to test this. There will be major tests. There's no doubt about that. But I do want to talk about Biden over the weekend. So you've been following this.
Yeah.
I've been following this. Not to get overly conspiratorial, but something bad happened and they covered it up. And they're acting like he's totally okay. I mean, really, look at what happened here. Okay.
I mean, everything is weird. I mean, from the, you know, there's no photo. Oh, like you said, of the I quit letter. I mean, this is a historic event, and the White House photographer or nobody took a picture of this for documentation. It's just a tweet. That's what we're going to have for this moment.
I know.
And he goes away. Nothing from him. He's delegating some of his authority to his cabinet secretaries regarding some things. I believe the Secretary of State has the authority to do some, you know, carte blanche stuff with Ukraine.
And Treasury.
Yes, yeah. I forgot. And Treasury. We have, Kamala went to campaign headquarters in Wilmington. He calls in on speaker. Sounds like death.
Mm-hmm,
and his speech is very slurred.
Yeah, well, you know, very sometimes slurred. That happens.
Something
anyway.
Happens. You know.
But here's the thing. Here, let's go back to the beginning of when this happened, right? Yeah, so on Wednesday, last Wednesday, we get word, and I might have been in the episode or not. I can't always remember where, you know, the news stopped from the last episode right, and then picked back up. We got word that Biden had, air quote, COVID.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But what has been reported and confirmed by Jen at Red State and some other great Red State reporters.
Yeah.
And also Jordan Schachtel.
Yeah.
Right? Who originally reported it. We confirmed it with other sources behind the scenes, multiple sources, high up in the Las Vegas Metro Police Department, right? That on Wednesday there was a call out on the encrypted police channel that there was a potentially significant medical emergency for Biden.
Yeah.
So much so that the University Medical Center, just down the street, one of the best hospitals out there in Vegas, prepared to intake the president in serious condition.
Yeah.
In a serious condition, right? In a needing immediate attention, right?
Yes.
The motorcade leaves the hotel and is going towards the hospital. But then all of a sudden, they decide, no, we're going to the plane instead.
We're going to the airport.
They go to the plane instead, and that's when you see the video of Biden barely being able to walk up the steps into the plane.
Yeah.
The plane then travels at a extreme speed back across the country, so much so that they made it from Las Vegas to Delaware in 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Which is very fast.
Very fast.
Reporters on the plane report the plane, Air Force One, shaking like they've never felt it shake before because of how fast they were going.
Yeah.
Okay? He gets off the plane in Delaware, again, could barely walk, barely get into a car, then disappears into the Delaware Beach House.
No visitor logs.
Thursday passes, Friday passes, Saturday passes. No word from the president. Sunday, all of a sudden, this letter gets published.
Yep.
And the letter gets put onto X. No, like you said, no proof of life accompanying. Yep. And the signature is off. Okay, you know, listen, I'm going off of...
Yeah, it is.
If you look at all of his signatures over the past month...
Doesn't look good.
And everybody pulled them from the official records and put it next to this one, this is the only one that doesn't match. Okay? Now, you could say, well, all of those signatures might have been auto-pen, and that's very possible. That happens a lot with the president, right? They sign documents with the automated device that puts the signature on there, and that's why sometimes it's very consistent, and that could be the case. But this was way off, right? And there was questions. There was questions, is Joe Biden even alive? Nobody's heard from him. Nobody's seen him. There's no pictures, no video, nothing. How does a presidential candidate drop out of the race and not make a public appearance?
Yeah.
Okay? Is Biden alive? It starts to spike on Google, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, I guess, you know what, let's have him call into Kamala's visit to campaign headquarters.
Yeah, I forgot about that other part of that visit. Hold on.
And then he calls in.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's some question about, well, his voice is slurred.
Yeah.
And all that. But the reason I brought that up is because the reporting from the inside source is that the medical emergency was actually somewhat of a mini stroke.
Yep.
TIA. A mini stroke. Now, once that was determined, they thought at first he was having a real stroke.
Yeah.
Now, once that was determined that was not the case, they then decided to go to the plane,
because it could be treated on the plane.
And then, apparently, he was recovering and then suffered a setback. And that's what drove him, essentially, out of the race.
Yeah.
In addition to probably all the blackmail they were piling on top of him. Yeah. I'm sure all the Democrats are like, you really don't want to go down this road.
Yeah,
like, we know where all the bodies are buried. Yeah. We know the 10% for the big guy.
Yeah.
We will blow this thing wide open. You will go down in disgrace.
And they were already leaking details of their meeting with him to push him out from days ago, during the RNC. Remember, they tried to do it quietly.
Yep.
They tried to make it, his thing. And then they're like, Nancy and Chuck were like, we're okay, fine. We're leaking all the details.
Well, and also, isn't it interesting that right after he drops out of the race on Sunday, on Monday, they just mysteriously find all these transcripts with the Her investigation.
Yep, Biden's talks with his biographer. They found him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
They found him.
But so he gives this talk to campaign headquarters on Monday evening after much, much question from the public on whether he was alive. Well, nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
So then they, on Tuesday, come back to the White House. And there's several interesting things that occur here. First, he gets out of the car in Delaware, looks at the press. He looks awful.
Yeah, it's bad.
Just awful.
It's bad.
He walks okay. I wouldn't say great, but not really much worse than he has before
in the past. Well, he still has that stiff gait, remember?
Yeah. You know, he can barely stand.
Yeah.
But then they get to Andrews Air Force Base. And standard operating procedure for the Secret Service, unless there's a case of very bad weather, they then take the helicopter to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't do that this time.
No, they didn't.
They took a motorcade to the White House.
Into a car.
And that was so that the limousine could pull up basically right next to the White House so he could walk in.
Yeah.
I guess they were so unsure of his ability to walk across the lawn from the helicopter to the White House that's why they did
that. That's a long walk for a guy like that.
Because the weather was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine during the day yesterday. Yeah, it was. Right. It did storm last night, but that was late last night.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of questions about that, and that really is the primer for going into tonight's speech. Now, it seems to me that, you know, it's basically a 95% chance that he will try to continue on with the presidency at this point, and that's what this speech is going to lay out. But there's certainly, it's not a 0% chance that tonight he comes out and transfers power.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I don't think that's going to happen tonight, but it's given what's happened over the last month, how just under 30 days ago, what, 28, 29 days ago, the story out of the left was Joe Biden is a vibrant president. He's so with it. He's great. All these concerns from the right on his health are unfounded. They're lies. They're cheap fakes. You remember that?
Yeah.
And then their entire fucking facade of bullshit got exploded on national television.
Yeah.
And they've been scrambling ever since. And then finally they get him out of the race on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like everyone loves Kamala. I'm like, sorry, have you forgotten that she's like just a hair shy of a mental retard?
Yeah. No one voted for her. She dropped out of the primaries.
Well, and that's the other thing.
No one has voted for her. Yeah.
Talk about an assault on democracy.
Yeah.
You lie to the American public for all these months, and basically a year at this point, about Joe Biden's fitness for office. Everyone votes for him. You could have just had an open primary. Everyone votes for him. But then you throw out millions of votes because of your lies and hand it to someone who never even took out primary votes in 2020 because she dropped out before Iowa.
Yeah. Because no one liked her.
Yeah. And so that's an interesting dynamic, especially when they say that we're the threats to democracy. I personally love when the other night at Trump's rally, which occurred before Biden dropped out, tonight's rally is going to be the first one he's running against Kamala. So that'll be really interesting to see what happens. That's at 6 o'clock. We'll, of course, be watching it and have full coverage at townhall.com. And same goes for the speech at 8 p.m. But I don't understand how they say that we're the threat to democracy. I love when Trump goes, they say I'm a threat to democracy. How am I a threat to democracy? I just took a bullet for democracy last week.
That's it.
And that's a great line.
That's the line.
That's a great line.
That's the line.
You know, and they've been very disciplined. I'm very happy to see that, you know, we talked about it last week. Spencer made a great point when he said that the Trump campaign has been keeping their powder dry here, the money dry, for this very day because they knew it was coming. They began preparing in May for a potential switch out of the candidate. They began cutting ads. I mean, they had an ad running against Kamala in the battleground states an hour after Biden dropped out.
Yeah.
And some of the ads they've been cutting against her have been devastating. And it's all policy because she was voted the most liberal senator in Congress.
Yeah.
And then after that gets exposed, you know what GovTrack does?
Yeah.
Takes that page down.
Yeah.
Takes that page down. Yeah. Just like this morning, the fucking losers over at Axios.
Well, it's everybody who's
well, supporting. sure. But they were the first ones to say it. They said, I don't know what Republicans are talking about. Kamala Harris was never the border czar.
Yeah, we remember.
I saw that when I woke up this morning and I was like, did I wake up in some fucking fucked up dream?
Yeah.
Because
this is the
what is this?
This is the Democrat media complex at work.
Yeah.
Like, in real time.
I was like, what? What?
Yeah.
Not only is on that on video from Biden's mouth multiple times, but it's printed in, it's got to be hundreds, if not thousands, of articles in the past, over the past few years.
Yeah.
Not only that, the bitch at Axios who published this article this morning wrote an article in 2021, I think it was.
Where it says borders.
Where it says Kamala's the border czar. Yeah,
and she had to do an there was an editor's note. I know. Oh, it's just, the scrubbing is just ridiculous.
And now, I guess maybe it was just so shocking that we went, the liberal media decided now, they went back from opposing the Biden-Harris administration and wanting to get Biden out to back to sucking dick of the Democrats almost as good as Kamala.
Especially when the memo shows that immigration is her biggest weakness.
Well, sure. Right? It's her fault.
It's her fault. So.
She said, do not come. And they came.
Yeah.
They came, all right. Set, what, 10 million of them?
Yeah, into the overflow.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's you know, and I don't even have time today to get into the Willie Brown, but we're going to get into the Willie Brown here next week.
Oh, my God.
You know, we're really tight on time today. We meant to record earlier, but then the Netanyahu speech happened.
Yeah.
These fucking terrorists downtown are burning our flags.
It's ridiculous.
And, you know, we got pressing stuff tonight with the Trump rally and the Biden speech, but we did want to get an episode out here for you. But, yeah, the whitewashing of the liberal media is back.
Yeah.
And the one thing that this confirmed for me this morning is that we cannot get complacent.
No.
We have to fight, 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 just like President Trump said.
Yeah.
And by the way, we didn't. Trump's speech, spectacular.
It was.
Last week.
It was.
People said it was too long. The guy almost got killed.
Yeah. Okay?
He could go as long as he fucking wants to.
Yeah.
He was enjoying it. He had his people there, his audience. The last time he will give a RNC speech as the nominee. And he went out there and gave a fucking great speech.
He was.
Okay, longest nomination speech on record, and he had a blast. Everyone else had a blast there. The only people complaining about it were the liberal media.
Yeah.
And some other fucking losers, you know, online, the usual crowd. but you know, we have to fight. And J.D. Vance's speech was great, too, by the way. That was after the episode last week.
Oh, you mean the right-wing Lord of the Rings dog whistle racist white nationalist address that
he
gave?
Is that what they said?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah,
see, I can't even keep up with anyone.
Well, that was from MSNBC, who wasn't even fucking there, remember?
Oh, sure.
They weren't even there.
Yeah.
Weren't even there.
Yeah.
Had a fake screen, fake news, fake network, all of it.
But anyway, we have to fight. And do not get complacent. Do not think for a second that now that they have someone new, they will not pull all the tricks out of the bags, the liberal media lies, cheating, and stealing.
Yeah.
They will attempt to cheat this election and lie it away from us. It's what they're going to try to do. It's what they've always done, and it's what they're going to try to do again. So, a few other things to hit here before we wrap up. Gold Bar Bob Menendez resigning.
Finally guilty.
Resigning, leaving the Senate on August 20th.
They got him.
We'll see who Phil Murphy up in New Jersey appoints to the seat. Interestingly enough, Phil Murphy went to visit Trump at Bedminster.
Oh,
thought that was very interesting. Wow. But speaking of gold bars, you know, this reminds me of our banking situation. I was just telling you this story the other day.
Mm-hmm.
The Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, the OCC, which handles a lot of regulatory oversight for a lot of the banking industry, right? He, the chief of that, Michael Hsu, I think is how you say his name, H-S-U. I don't really know how the fuck you say that, but... he issued his annual banking risk report, and unfortunately, it's one of the worst I think I've ever seen. He found that 11 of the 22 large banks it supervises have, quote, insufficient or weak management of a broad swath of risks.
Great.
And now, so just to explain this, because not everybody knows the intricacies of this, and really the only reason I know the intricacies of this is because my mom works in banking. These banks go through what's called stress tests, right? And this was implemented after the financial crisis to examine the liquidity of these banks and the ability to take changing market and financial conditions and not go belly up like we had in the 2008 financial crisis, right? Well, so if they're finding that half of these big banks have liquidity issues, what the fuck do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
And this goes back to what we've been talking about. They have all these toxic assets on their books. They have these unrealized losses of hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars Where do you think that money's going to come from?
Us.
That money is going to come from a bailout. It's going to come from us. And so that's why my concern about a financial crisis in this lead up to the election is higher than ever before, because the indicators of the underlying economy continue to get weaker. People keep spending, so the the GDP growth or whatever you want to call it continues at a mediocre pace, but they're spending it all on credit cards. Credit card debts again last month reaching record highs. I think it's now $1.4 trillion, which is the highest it's ever been. You have people's savings tapped the fuck completely out. Okay? What do you think that's a combination for? And then you look at the unemployment. Again, the only people getting jobs are fucking illegals and part-time jobs. If you look at the full-time workforce, and even that's more abysmal. Specifically, the native full-time workforce, Americans are getting fucked.
Yeah.
Destroyed by Biden's economy. And inflation continues. Is no matter how much they want to doctor these reports, the inflation continues. You know it. I know it. We all know it, as Trump would say. So, yeah, you know, don't sleep on that. Not financial advice. Just saying. But, you know, the market really shit itself today. And I think we're in for quite a few red days from here until the election. And the only reason it's being held up is because of the prospect of a Trump presidency.
Yeah.
Not financial advice. So let's wrap up with a little bit more in-depth on where you see this race at. I want to know your thoughts on the Kamala thing, the polls, you know, how this is going to shake up the race. What do you think overall?
Well, to start, Kamala entering the race, the switcheroo, has solved one problem that the Democrats are facing, which is fundraising.
Sure.
You know, over $250 million, a lot of donors were holding their cash back. I mean, that was one part of the Nevada trip before the COVID diagnosis, was that, you know, Biden met with Jeffrey Katzenberg, one of his big money guys, and he was saying that we are running out of cash. So, you know, the coffers are being filled. As you said, though, there's some questionable stuff. Look, $250+ million raised in, what, 3 days? There's going to be some shenanigans. So we'll see how that comes out. But listen, Kamala has the unknown factor, I guess, that's kind of keeping her shielded. People really don't have a strong opinion about her. About, I think, a fifth of the electorate doesn't really know her.
Right.
So now there's a race to define her. But, you know, she's not really the official nominee until, like, the end of August.
Right.
So there's going to be a lot of noise. There's going to be a lot of uncertainty. I think it's going to be, like, you know, things don't change in 3 years. She's going to be how she was in 2020. The more she goes out into the spotlight, she's going to wilt like a flower, like she did last time.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton was the same way. But, and right now, you know, she has to win those rural, you know, white working class voters in Erie, Pennsylvania, in those areas. And she's not really – she's already failing in that regard because she has this brat thing going on social media. I don't know what the fuck this is. I'm old. This is how I know that I'm old. I don't know what the hell this shit is.
Oh, I don't get it either.
I don't get it. No, but two-thirds of the electorate's not going to get it either.
Mm-hmm.
So she's trying to connect to the young people. Big problem there. She's doing horribly with young people. Young people. Young people don't really like her. I think she is now splitting the Hispanic vote with Trump evenly. That is the lowest share since John Kerry. This will be lower than John Kerry's share, which was like 53% in 2004. So not good. Not good with black voters either. I think Trump's getting 21% of black support. If that holds, she's cooked.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely cooked.
Yeah.
And, you know, does the age and health thing get taken off the table? For sure. But now we're dealt with her inexperience, her awkwardness on stage.
Yep.
You know, do people trust her to handle the nuclear codes and national crises? And given the, you know, falling off the coconut tree, the cackling, the puerile, you know, analysis of the Ukraine war, you know, Ukraine isn't a country. That's in Europe. Type of stuff. Yeah. You know,
I knew that when I was in fucking eighth grade.
The passage of time stuff. Like, I mean, it is like Veep. And, you know, the only saving grace about that is, like, that was a comedy. That was meant to be satire and funny. This is not.
Which, by the way, is even funnier now.
It's funnier now. But it's just, you know, I think on the other side, the Trump people and the Republicans need to stay focused on her record, inexperience, and you know, just hammering that she owns the Biden record as well. What is she hiding from the cover up regarding the mental health decline, because she saw him every day? Immigration hit her on that. I know it gets our people jacked up sometimes, but it also gets the libs jacked up. Stay away from the DEI stuff. That's absolutely unnecessary.
Well, so here's what I said.
There's plenty to hit her on without calling her the DEI candidate. I think that jacks up the liberal base. We want to keep them hopeless and depressed and on the verge of suicide. And, you know, just focus on the record, because the record's not good. It's not popular. Like, we just stay... You know, it's kind of like the meme of the guy getting the... You know, he's wearing the same shirt that he got as a gift.
Yeah.
You know, that's Biden Harris.
Yeah.
Stay... It's the same person, just younger and stupider.
Yeah, sure. Yep. It's...
I mean, Biden's already, like, half brain dead, but when he... In his... Listen, Harris is just... I mean, I would say... Dare I say, Biden, even at half brain dead, is smarter than Harris. You know, so...
Mm-hmm.
I
agree with you to the most part. I think that official messaging needs to stay, like, from Trump and the campaign and the RNC, needs to stay on the record.
Meet the new candidate.
I do, however, think that it is a fair criticism that she is a DEI candidate, because Joe Biden himself said that. Right? You know, I mean, now, listen, I agree with you that it does rile them up.
It does.
But it's true. Right? The truth is the truth. Okay? And then also, I will continue to hit on her for getting her start in politics for sucking Willie Brown's dick. We'll have a much larger run-through on that later on. For anyone that doesn't know the story now, everybody that listens to this show is well-educated in politics. Yeah. But for anybody that doesn't know the story, take a look. Kamala, Willie Brown, she...
the Associated Press did a fact check and had like
ridiculous.
Had a Streisand effect on it, because it was completely like everyone knew that was happening.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Did they, okay, anyway.
You know what sums her up best? She sucked the guy's dick, and then she got the job she wanted, and then was in a position to help the guy who got in legal trouble afterwards, Willie Brown, and she said, fuck you.
Sold him down the river.
So much for helping your friends. And that tells you everything you need to know about Kamala
some
Harris.
Some Game of Thrones shit.
It's not like anybody in this listening to this show is voting for that bitch anyway.
Yeah.
But I will say, I agree with you in full about the messaging needs to stay on point. And
focus
on
she used to throw in, you know, she used to throw blacks in jail for minor marijuana offenses all the time.
And then brag
and
about
then
smoking
about
with
it.
Snoop Dogg, which never really
which
probably
never,
happened
yeah,
anyway.
No, it didn't happen. Yeah, it was bad too.
Well, she used to keep black guys in jail longer than they were supposed to be there, so she could use them for free labor for the California prison system.
That's true.
And let's not forget that she's her right to being called black is because she's Jamaican. Well, guess what? Her parents were fucking slave traders in Jamaica. I mean, that's a fact. You know, it is what it is. I agree with you. We got to stay on point.
There's also
there's a lot out there to talk about that's just freaking hilarious. And the hypocrisy from the left here. And like I said, it all goes back to they're going to lie, they're going to cheat, they're going to steal. We have to fight. We have to donate. I just donated today to not only the Trump campaign, but to one of my favorite Senate candidates, Bernie Moreno in Ohio, who I think has a really good chance to unseat Sherrod Brown. Trump's going to win that state by 10, and Bernie has a really good chance to come with him to the Senate. If we can knock Sherrod Brown out, that'd be huge. So I really, you know, not saying donate to him, but donate to your favorite Republican today. We need to counteract this money that they're flooding into the system and get those ads up in all the important swing states. You know, the Sun Belt looks good for us. Georgia looks pretty good. North Carolina looks almost locked. You've got Arizona looking really good. Nevada looks surprisingly good. But we have to get up to the Rust Belt.
Dovetailing on the Nevada, you saw that the culinary workers unions didn't back Trump, but they backed the policy.
No
tax on
of
tips.
Of course they did, yeah.
The no tax on tips. It's resonating, so...
Well, and that goes back to what we were just talking about last week with the Teamsters president.
Yeah.
They may not endorse the Democrats, but that's almost as good as them endorsing us.
They're not
it's giving permission to their members to go vote. And now the members will do what they want
to
anyway, but it doesn't hurt. right? It doesn't hurt to have that support.
I believe the United All Workers Union hasn't endorsed Kamala yet.
That is correct.
Yeah, Sean Fain has not.
And they very well might, given her record on electric vehicles, getting rid of gas cars, all that shit. And so, yeah, it goes up to the Rust Belt. All we need to do is take one Rust Belt state. If we sweep that Sun Belt, one state. Yeah. Pennsylvania's looking pretty good. Wisconsin's looking pretty good.
With this brat stuff over the fuck that
Yeah, sure. Michigan's looking pretty good. You know, we have to drive the message home that this crazy liberal wants to destroy America.
Yeah.
And some of these ads they've been putting out have been unbelievably good. The Trump campaign, the NRSC, the Senate campaigns, tying all these Democrats to Kamala Harris, the most liberal senator in American history, more liberal than Bernie Sanders. Yeah. And that's all you need to know at the end of the day.
You know, I'll ban fracking. I'll destroy the fossil fuel industry. I'll screw the workers. Oh, no, no. Well, I'll give them a period of transition, i.e. I'm going to screw you hard.
Yep.
You know, so keep... It's
don't get complacent.
Yes,
that's all I have to say.
Always
don't take it for granted.
That she's 6 points up.
Well, you know, I don't want to be that negative.
No, but have that mindset. You know,
we're tied.
That's the hungry.
We're tied.
That's
the funny thing about this is, even when they get all excited about a poll showing Kamala down two, that really means that Trump won 300 electoral votes.
Yeah. Oh wait, because the ECR. Yeah, no, exactly. It's the Electoral College thing. I mean, for sure. Even Nate Silver admits that.
Yeah. Yep. Even a new CNN poll has Trump up 3 on Kamala nationwide in a popular vote. So that's, keep fighting. Keep fighting like we're down, like Matt said. Yeah. But, you know, positive vibes, positive feelings.
Yeah.
We have never been in this position since Bush won, leading after July 4th.
Yeah.
You know,
I think
Trump
yeah.
never led Hillary at any point in the polls. In the last election, Biden was plus 7.4 in the average of polling going into Election Day.
Yeah.
And in the end, he only won by a handful of votes across three states.
45,000.
Okay? So if we're up by 000. A couple points in these polls, ranging from, you know, two to some having it as high as six or seven, but if you really look at the independent numbers, it's really good. You just have to keep fighting as if we're down all the way through Election Day, and then when we get to Election Day and we can celebrate that victory and sip that champagne, which I will be doing in large volumes... you will enjoy it all the better for what you've done. You got to keep fighting. So if you have any comments, questions, concerns, thoughts, stories you want us to cover, email us triggered@townhall.com. We love hearing from you. We heard from a couple fans last week. I love y'all. I agree. I'll try to get back to you. It's just been a little fucking crazy around here.
Oh,
but,
my God, man.
Of course, if you enjoy Triggered and want it uncensored, become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. Use the promo code MAGA24 for 60% off. The sale is ending this week. MAGA24 is the code, 60% off. You'll be finding everything we're doing here on Triggered and everything we're doing on all of our sites, covering the news that needs to be covered, telling the truth, exposing the lies of the left, and we need to do that more than ever before. So thank you to all of you who are VIP members, and there's so many of you on Triggered that are, Triggered listeners that are. It means the world to us. It really does, and we love you. We love all of you. We do this show for you. Of course, again, email us, triggered@townhall.com. We'd love to hear from you. We will be back here next Wednesday, July 31st, the end of the month. I thought it was just July 4th, but here we are at the end of the month already. The election is growing closer. 15 weeks from yesterday, folks. 15 weeks. We will be back here next Wednesday for another episode of Triggered.
See you then. Oh, no! Thank you.